It's a new world order. They've locked down the border. Wherever we are, that's where we have to stay. No time for blame. This is a runaway train. Gotta apply the brakes for the future of humanity. Gotta do whatever it takes. Hold on. We're all in this together. It's a catch cry of the day. We gotta be, period. There is no other way. But hey, can't cry all night. There's a war to fight. An enemy to put away. Keep the faith, isolate. Help is on the way.
Hi, you guys. This is Richard Sachs of Lost Arts Radio. Nice to be back with you again. We have a great show tonight, and what we're dealing with is we got this crisis thing happening in the world. You might have noticed it's supposedly blamed on this virus, and it's a complex situation. The virus is real and man-made and patented, etc. But the crisis that we're dealing with is not the virus. It's something else. And there's not everybody understands that. You know, sometimes they think either the virus doesn't exist, in which case it's all a fake, or it exists and that's the crisis. And neither one of those is appears to be accurate. So what we're looking at actually is that the virus is being used as a cover, not the cause of the whole thing. And it's really a brilliant plan, the way it looks to me, of our global rulers to take a giant step quickly into tyranny on the way to extermination of life, which I think is their goal at this point. And it looks like the rulers have calculated that we're dumbed down enough now and scared enough and subject to fear enough that we're going to fall for this and go along with it. And the question really is, you know, how many people are, and are there enough that won't, that the awareness can spread to the ones who are dominated by fear right now? So I wanted to get somebody on who really has a great understanding of the whole thing, and actually has been writing about it, aspects of it. Alex Newman has been here quite a few times before. He's a foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine, and he writes for a lot of different outlets and does speaking in different places and involved in education with a really neat school that we may get to mention again for the people who don't know about that. And I want to look at, with Alex, not only the aspects of what's going on and where it came from and why right now and how it's being used, but also what really matters is what are the options for response to it so that we don't have to let it reach its goal. And I was hoping that Alex would come on and be willing to talk for a little while with us about that. It's a pretty important subject at the moment, kind of like life or death for survival on the planet at the moment. And fortunately, he was able to do that. So welcome, Alex, and thank you for giving us a little bit of time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Richard. It's great to be back with you, and it's an honor to be here. So thank you. And this really is, it's a life or death situation for people all over the world. It's, you know, now they're talking about famines of biblical proportions, thanks mm-hmm. to all these idiotic lockdowns. I mean, we are heading into some very, very difficult times here if we're not careful. And even if we are careful, we may be heading into some very difficult times. So,
yeah, it's gone pretty far already. You want to, just in case there are some listeners who are totally absorbed in the television, you want to kind of, I want to reach, as usual, people that are not up to speed on what's going on. But, you know, there's still millions and millions of people all over the world that are believing what's on TV and in the major newspapers and stuff like that. And they're terrified. They don't understand anything about what you just said. They think this virus is just like the movie Outbreak. It's going to kill everybody unless Dustin Hoffman comes and makes a new vaccine and saves us. So how is that not exactly accurate for those people?
Yeah, and you know, I encourage people, if you're still watching your TV, just stop. I mean, just throw the thing in the trash or put it to good use. You know, put like a pretty picture of nature or something on there. You know, stop watching the TV. You know, I don't watch CNN or Fox News or CBS or any of these for the same reason I don't eat out of dirty diapers. I mean, it's just you don't do it, right? It's not good.
But how do you know what's happening in the world if you don't watch those stations all the time?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, and I think the short answer is if you watch those stations, you have no idea what's going on in the world. You know, the proper way, I think, to figure out what's going on in the world is to analyze multiple different sources of information, and that does not include CNN. I mean, unless you want to know what they're brainwashing people with, unless you want an explanation for why a significant segment of the population is running around like trained seals, you know, wearing masks and barking about the social distancing and, you know, 6 feet. I mean, if you need an explanation for that, it's CNN, but if you understand what's really going on, you really do have to rely on a diversity of sources. And so one of the things that I've been doing, Richard, throughout this whole thing is calling up people who...
Okay. You were just telling that there is actually a way to find out what's going on in the world, even if you don't watch the approved sources.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the way I do that, I just call people who are knowledgeable. And, you know, I do use a little bit of the news, never from TV, obviously. You can absorb... you know, 8 hours of television, and you could read that in 30 seconds, you know, in a combination of online articles. It's really, watching television is probably the worst possible use of your time. But so what I've been doing, Richard, since this whole craziness started, is just calling people who should know better, doing people who have various fields of expertise, whether that be medicine or biology or virology or politics and economics, and talk to business owners, talk to people, to political people, to the people who are actually in there, and then try to synthesize that. And so, you know, I've synthesized a lot of findings into my articles and in other places. People kind of see the products of my research. You can go there. But there's a lot of great sources of information. And, you know, I would say your program, Richard, is obviously one of those. Go to thenewamerican.com if you want daily headlines. You cut through the baloney and you just get, you know, what's important, what's and occasionally that'll include something that, you know, CNN reported just to provide some context. But really to watch the television is about the dumbest thing you could do right now.
Well, one of the things that the television warns us against is, you know, don't get your news on the Internet. That's just for conspiracy theory people and stuff like that. So there are some really good things on the Internet, and it's not that hard to find good ones if you know what you're doing, right?
Right, absolutely. And I mean, you do have to sort through the garbage. I mean, you know, Google News now, for example, is always pushing CNN. YouTube, for example, they announced that they're going to take down anything that defies World Health Organization guidelines, and they're going to push what they consider to be authoritative voices, which are, you know, the most unreliable, BBC, you know, CNN, Fox News, these kinds of things. I'd rather get my news from The Onion or The Lawn Bee, frankly, because at least smile while I'm doing it. But so you, I mean, you do have to sort through the trash. You got to, you know, get past the CNN. Occasionally, you'll find it, you know, a crazy blog or, you know, some lunatic locked in their basement. There's some, but you know, generally, if you look at a broad array of different sources, you can kind of get an idea for what's going on, and just talk to experts, see who's credible, and compare that with what you know already. Compare that with what you know to be true, and you know, it's very difficult to discern these times. Deliberately confusing. I think it's want people to be very confused, to let CNN try to make sense of it for you. But, you know, it's not easy to find good information, but it can be done, and it must be done if we hope to maintain our freedoms and protect our families and have a good understanding of what's going on. So,
yeah, you have to be willing to get your common sense back and not rely for everything on outside sources, because even the most reliable, you've got to check against your common sense.
Yep.
So people that are absorbed in the television, their idea of what's happening, I think, if I understand it right now, is that there was this terrible virus that came out of nature, and it just showed up at the seafood market, which is kind of funny that it was called a seafood market, because I don't think there's any oceans right there. But it showed up at a seafood market in China, and it was so terrible that the Chinese government panicked and realized to save the world, they had to weld everybody inside their apartment buildings and things like that. And so they valiantly tried to do that, but it spread all over the world anyway. And now it's threatening the survival of the world. And if the authorities who just care about us so much don't stop us from having our freedom to move around and, you know, breathe and normal stuff like that, then that's really our only hope. And that's why people are saying, okay, we just have to wear pool noodles. You know,
I saw that picture. My goodness. But that's essentially the official story, right? Is, oh my goodness, a natural virus got out in China, and then, oh, incompetence and you know, combination of incompetence and global travel. And now we're all at risk. You know, I've come to the conclusion that this is not a natural phenomenon. Having talked to experts, having investigated this matter myself, I am now firmly convinced that this was engineered. Almost certainly there was a role for this Institute of Virology in Wuhan, the Communist Chinese Party. And I have very, very strong indications that there was a role for people within the United States and people within Canada. And in fact, the government has some of those indications as well. I'm sure you saw, Richard, that the FBI arrested the head of the chemistry department at Harvard University for cooperating with the Communist Chinese 1,000 Talents Program. You know, we know there was a lot of weird stuff going on at Fort Detrick. We know there was a lot of weird stuff going on in North Carolina and up in Winnipeg. So I think there's a very complicated story here. I'm not sure we will ever unweave it completely, but it does seem very, very certain this was an engineered virus, bringing together different components from different viruses. They've had the technology to do that for quite some time. And frankly, I think the engineers are rather disappointed. But it didn't kill a whole lot more people.
It was pretty disappointing. As a bioweapon, it was really not very impressive.
Huh? No, you're right. And I think if these people could kill millions of people with an engineered virus, they would have done it already. I think they're working on that. I think they would love to see mass casualties as long as they have, you know, the antidote for themselves. Right. And I think they were really, I think, celebrating. Yes, we finally have it. Lots of people are going to die. Oh, man. Well, at least we have to pretend like lots of people are going to die and convince the boobs so that we can take away their freedom and shut down their businesses and shut down their churches and take away their rights. And I think that's where we are now.
The usual stuff.
Yeah.
The other possibility that I did look at is that what if they wanted it only for hype so that they didn't have to worry about any of the wrong people being affected?
Well, you know, I think they know how to protect themselves from this, Richard, and I can't say too much about it just yet, but Trump just dropped a nuclear bomb on their agenda yesterday by announcing to the world that he was taking hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic.
Yeah. Now, they're all attacking him as, you know, he's going to kill hundreds of millions of people.
There's a good reason why they're attacking him, and they don't want that information out. In fact, they've known all along. That hydroxychloroquine would provide some pretty effective protection from being infected with the virus and potentially the COVID-20 that I hear is on the way.
Yeah, as a public service, I think Bill Gates on public television said there will be a pandemic too, and it's pretty soon, actually.
Yeah.
Of course, he's just making a wild guess, but he made a wild guess about the first one.
Yeah. And Fauci, too. I don't know if you saw that video. Anthony Fauci, the guy who's going to save us from the virus, him and Bill Gates. Yeah. You saw that video. There will be a surprise pandemic during his first term.
That.
Yeah, I know. So, wait, if it's a surprise, how do you know it's coming? What is wrong with this picture? I
mean, nobody noticed anything wrong with that.
No. Yeah. And if you put it up on YouTube, they'll take it down and say, oh, that's a violation of World Health Organization guidelines. Can't say that.
Exactly. Yeah, so we've got two totally different interpretations of what's going on right now. One of them is the one that people are terrified of, and they get incentivized to be terrified of that because in some really advanced places like Los Angeles, you can make $200 a call for turning in your neighbors.
Yeah.
Maybe your own family, too, if you're willing to do that.
What a shameful state that we're in. And, you know, I looked at the numbers for New York. They've set up a snitch line. And, you know, when you break it down, I think they got like 500,000 calls from snitches. And I always remember that phrase, snitches get stitches, right? I mean, you fools, what is wrong with you? But 500,000 calls, somebody had crunched the numbers. And so, you know, it wasn't a very significant percentage of the population that was ratting on their neighbors, but significant enough to be really troubling. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to turn everybody into like this paranoia, you know, like East Germany, right? The Stasi was never all that huge, but the paranoia, you know, nobody would even talk to their friends or family because, oh, what if one of those working for the Stasi? And I think that's what they're going for.
Anybody who didn't get a chance to study that history can just look around now.
Yep.
And see it demonstrated, right?
Are they
paying people rewards in New York City like Los Angeles?
You know, I don't remember if they were paying reward or not, but it's, you know, they've conditioned us for this. You remember the, if you see something, say something, right? They were broadcasting that at the airports, even in March when I was going through my final airplane trips before everything got shut down. If you see something, say something. Say, hey, I see some tyrants over there. They're molesting an old lady. Oh, wait, no, that's just the TSA. Sorry.
Right. That's officially approved. Mm-hmm.
They got a costume, so we're good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, there's a lot of interesting things going on. The number of actual cases, which is basically an oxygen situation where the person can't absorb the oxygen into their blood, and it's not pneumonia, it's something really strange, indicating that the virus is real and some people do get affected. But there are doctors like Dr. Brownstein that report you can get rid of that within 1 to 2, sometimes 2 days, completely with no symptoms, just with intravenous vitamin C for the worst cases. That, of course, I'm not saying that because you can't talk about it.
You'll get taken down from YouTube, right? That's one of the specific things you will get removed. Is, oh, you can't recommend vitamin C or turmeric.
Right.
How dare you?
So I'm not recommending it. I would say go to your doctor and get, you know, AIDS drugs or something that's totally safe. But, and vitamin D3, some of those conspiracy theorists are showing that they're getting people completely healed with that.
And whatever you do, don't touch the zinc. Touch the zinc.
Well, that's one thing it proved that President Trump was insane about, is he mentioned zinc and hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
And on top of that, Nancy Pelosi said he was morbidly obese, so he shouldn't really be talking about any of these things anyway, even though he's not a doctor.
That's right.
But,
crazy times we live in.
So that goes along with your saying that the creators of it knew how to get rid of it.
Yep.
Because really
I think they
easy.
Do.
Yeah,
yep.
And that's aside from nanosilver, which wipes out weaponized viruses, according to conspiracy theorists.
According to those crazy conspiracies. Whatever you do, don't listen to them, and also don't throw me in the briar patch while you're at it, please.
Exactly, yeah. I have to remember all these important things. So right now what's going on is that just to make sure that the public is adequately terrified, you know, because if you're not terrified, it's probably going to get you. And to be terrified enough, they're putting all the death certificates as COVID-19 deaths, even if they, you know, there was a very sad meme circulating from one of those evil meme people on the internet about a skydiver whose parachute failed to open, and on the way down, he died of coronavirus.
I saw one too. A guy gets over by a car, and the medical investigators interview him. Sir, how did you get the coronavirus?
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible.
And we had a paramedic reporting that they picked up the pieces of a guy who died in a motorcycle crash who also died of COVID-19. So, and I mean, unfortunately, these are not a joke. They're actually happening.
Yeah, and you see the pneumonia deaths, right? In the U.S., you have the normal pneumonia deaths, and every year is pretty much the same. And then this year, what? No one's dying of pneumonia anymore. Oh, my goodness. We've cured pneumonia.
One thing about real science is you learn everything as a coincidence and has no cause or effect.
That's
so
right.
I think it's 30 to 80,000 usually connected with pneumonia-related deaths in the U.S. every year. And that just happens to be the total that's being shifted over to COVID-19. And I don't know if you saw that great doctor, Bukacek, who was on. She's one of Chuck Baldwin's followers in his congregation up in Montana. Mm-hmm. He used to be in Florida.
Yep.
And she's reporting that they're telling all the doctors and coroners and everybody, fill out the death certificates with COVID-19. And if you don't worry about testing or proof or anything, the tests aren't real anyway.
And, right. They tested a fruit and a goat and they tested positive for coronavirus.
That was really sad. I mean, that goat must have been really traumatized.
Can you imagine? But,
yeah.
But, and there was that state senator in Minnesota. I mean, this guy openly blew the whistle. He's a medical doctor, and he had received documents Department of Health and Human Services encouraging him to put coronavirus as the cause of death, even when he had no actual proof that it was coronavirus. Like, oh, he had symptoms that were kind of similar to coronavirus. Oh, don't bother with testing down there.
And the terminology is really tricky, and they figure most people aren't going to pay attention enough to know the difference. But coronavirus is common, and it has been, you know, as long as anybody knows.
It's a common cold.
Yeah, I've heard anywhere from 20 to 80 different known coronaviruses, and they normally cause no trouble. So they kind of shifted the language to testing for coronavirus, and everybody says, oh no, I'm positive for coronavirus. And pretty much everybody is anyway. So that's how the numbers explode. And that's also the justification of removing you from your home, and taking you to some undisclosed safe location. Or your children.
You saw that. World Health Organization, Michael Ryan, emergencies chief, said, oh, most of the transmission now is at the family level. So we have to go in the home and remove someone who's sick.
Exactly. He was so compassionate. That's the Secretary General, right?
He's the emergencies chief. The director general is actually a member of the Politburo, former member of the Politburo for the ethno-Marxist terrorist group known as the Tigray People's Liberation Front. So, not a medical doctor, but he is a attack poodle for communist China.
Well, it turns out the people who have the most knowledge and authority that you really need to obey are not medical doctors anyway, like Bill Gates and people like that.
That's right.
Anyway, so right now what they're recommending, and my understanding in the, I don't know, what one of our doctor guests called the World Homicide Organization is that they
good
have...
Good name, I'm going to borrow that.
They have like a director general and a secretary general. And the director general is the guy you mentioned, Tedros, right? And the secretary general is this other guy who, maybe in addition to the one you're talking about, said, and most of the transmission is being pushed into the homes now. So we have to go into families and say, how are you? You know, I mean, it's like letting a vampire in your house. And then they take your temperature, and who knows what they set the temperature thing for anyway, that they just say, oh, temperature's too high. We were hoping it was okay, but you know, we're just going to have to kidnap all your kids to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. And they're doing that now in the U.S. You saw Ventura County in California. You saw Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State. They're hiring an army of social workers. And in the ad, it says you're going to care for these kids who are in emergency quarantine due to coronavirus. It's, you know, it's absolutely insane. And,
there's a lot of people that need the jobs now, too, right?
That's right. And they're going to hire a lot of them as contact tracers, right? So they can build this Orwellian panopticon where they're going to keep everybody under perpetual surveillance. But so, somebody posted the antidote to that on Facebook the other day. Gather a list of all the addresses of your city council, your county commission, your state legislators, all the people responsible. And when they come to your house and say, who have you been in contact with? So here's the list.
Yeah.
A nice handy format for you. Let them go visit all your local politicians.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. So contact tracer sounds like a really sophisticated super detective and like getting a job as James Bond or something. And there's a lot of people who are unemployed now, to put it mildly. But what are contact tracers really?
Well, they're basically snoops, spies, and I actually just wrote an article about this over at thenewamerican.com if people want to learn. There's so many organizations and interests here, it'll blow your mind, and I bet your viewers are not surprised to know that the Clintons are involved, George Soros is involved, Bill Gates involved, pick your criminal, and they're involved. And so what they're doing with this contact tracing, there's, you know, the field staff, and they're talking about hiring hundreds of thousands of these who are supposed to say, oh, you turned out positive for coronavirus. Now we've got to track down anybody and everybody that you've come in contact with over the previous, whatever, 2 weeks. Okay. And then we've got to go isolate all them and all the rest of it. But then there's the technological component as well. They're talking about installing apps, and they're actually already doing this in China, right? Depending on whether you have a green light or a red light on your app, you can either move around or you can't move around, or you're locked at home.
It's a rectangle, right, that they show around people.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And they're working on this now. And so basically they're going to create a total surveillance regime involving technology, involving snoops that are going to, as we were talking about earlier, they want to come into people's houses. This HR 6666, and that's not a joke.
We need to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the Trace Act, the tracking, contact, or tracing, contacting, or the tracing, reaching, or something, contacting, Every American Act. And what they say is they're going to put $100 billion into this, and they're going to send agents to your house to test you. And what they want to do, as we were just discussing, they start separating families. So, you know, oh, well, one of the people in your house has, well, we need to split you all up. You guys are going to go to a quarantine camp over there, and you guys will go to a super happy fun camp over here. And don't worry, we'll take good care of you. I mean, look what we did for the Native Americans, right? You could trust us.
And it's, so it's free food, shelter. You don't have to pay rent anymore.
Endless video games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The only cost is your freedom. I mean, what? No big deal. Right. Maybe your life.
Did they mention where they're taking people?
No, not yet. They have talked about setting up emergency quarantine centers in Washington State, and they are working on similar stuff all around the world. And, you know, frankly, this is absolutely terrifying. And even back when this was going on in China, back in January, a friend called me and said, you know what? I think what's going on here is they're using this as a pretext to shut down dissidents. They're saying, oh, you have coronavirus. We need to take you away to some camp. And then you die. And they tell the family, oh, sorry, he had coronavirus. You know, he was one of those underground church pastors. That's probably where he got it from. So now all you guys need to go to. And, you know, the potential for mischief here is enormous. And then when you see the criminals involved in this scam, you realize that it's certainly for evil purposes.
Yeah, yeah. Originally, the first stories about that were about using it in China and how terrible it was.
Yep.
But that was when it was just in China.
Mm-hmm. Now it's for us, too, and the Europeans and everybody else. And you know, actually, some places are worse than others. Right now, I'm in Florida, and Florida has been significantly more sensible than other places. But, I mean, if you look at, like, what they're doing in South Africa, for example, they've got martial law. They've got the military out on the streets. They're beating people. In India, too, they're beating people with sticks for going out of their house to get some food or some water. I mean, they would do that here if they thought they could get away with it. Luckily, you know, there's still enough resistance in the American people, except in maybe Illinois and New York and California, that they can't quite get away with that yet.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how many of the law enforcement people are going along with it?
Yeah, and many of them are speaking out, you know, to their credit. There's sheriffs all over the country. I was just communicating with Sheriff Richard Mack yesterday. He's got the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and he's got hundreds of sheriffs across the country who are saying, we're not going to enforce this. We're just not. We interviewed a sheriff up in Idaho for the New American, and he said, hey, you know, I respect the governor can, you know, do his orders, but they're not going to be enforced in this county. We are not slaves. And actually, our governor here in Florida said, you know, these people have rights. These governors, they don't have, they're not dictators. They don't have these kinds of powers. They can't be doing that. But, you know, a lot of them are facing consequences. There was that police officer up in Seattle just a few days ago, lost his job for that quick YouTube video saying, hey, you can't keep pushing people like this and expect that there's not going to be violence. You need to stop. These people have rights. And so they fired him.
Yeah, that thing about the rights is pretty critical issue because according to the, I guess it's the Declaration of Independence, they're supposed to be unalienable.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The Founding Fathers said it was self-evident that God gave us these rights. And, of course, if God gave them to us, government is the government, right? You have no right to take away something that God gave.
God is going to have to send you a notice if they're being removed.
That's right. and they even said, actually, the purpose of government, the whole reason why we establish a government is to protect these rights. And so, and they continued, when government becomes destructive to these ends, they don't teach us in schools anymore, then the people have not just the right, but the duty to alter or abolish that government. So, you know, they don't want kids to know that, unless by alter or abolish, we mean replace it with a mass murdering communist dictatorship, something along those lines. But we need to be very clear that this is all illegitimate, it's all illegal, it's all constitutional, and we know from Nuremberg, right? I was just following orders. That's not going to be an excuse, right? That is not going to be an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was just occurring to me when you were explaining that. Wow, you should teach this to kids in school.
Right, wouldn't that be
amazing? Oh, wait a minute, you are.
Right,
we'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
But okay, so there's, I think this is an amazing coincidence that the patent for this injectable dye and the new currency system that's going to be internal to people, like a blockchain connected electronic currency, and also the bill that was brought up by, who was it, the Illinois congressman?
Oh, Bobby Rush, H.R. 6. 6-6?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it amazing that those just happened to come up with those numbers?
What a coinkydink, I know. And Bill Gates' patent for Microsoft, WO2020-06-06-06. Obviously, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, so, I mean, most people can't just call up the patent office or the whoever is in charge of the bill numbers in the Congress and say, here's the number I want, this is my order. And they just changed the number. So I wonder how that happens.
All a big coincidence. And if you anything otherwise, you're a wackadoodle, conspiracy theorist, crazy kook who needs to be silenced for the benefit of humanity. You know, when you look at this patent, it is so creepy. I mean, go read the patent for yourself. I actually pulled it up on the World Intellectual Property Organization, the UN Patent Office's website. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you read this and you realize, man, in the Book of Revelation where they talked about you're not going to be able to buy or sell without taking your mark. I mean, we are almost there, folks. This is a piece of technology that goes into your body that connects your body with the cryptocurrency system. And this is how it's described in the patent application.
But this is worse than a chip, right? Because a chip you could cut out.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about here now. Merging of man machine. They're talking about editing our DNA, Richard. You know, Bill Gates is obsessed with this. In 2018, he wrote an article for Foreign Affairs, which is the mouthpiece for the Council on Relations, one of the most disgusting subversive groups in the United States. I call it deep state headquarters here in the U.S. Hillary Clinton, by the way, bragged that that's who gives her her orders. She said they tell her what she should be doing and how she should think about the future. And of course, our friend Darth Vader, aka Dick Cheney, he laughs. Oh, I used to be a director, but I never told the folks back home in Wyoming when I was running for re-election. So Bill Gates wrote an article for their magazine, 2018. You can find it online, Foreign Affairs. Just, you know, look it up on anything except Google because Google's evil. And he talks about this technology called CRISPR, which is for gene editing. And then you look at the vaccines they're promoting through Moderna and some of these other companies they're funding. These are mRNA vaccines, never been used before for a vaccine. But what it does is it helps reprogram the DNA and the genes in your body to the point where these changes actually be passed on to your offspring and to future generations. They are literally talking about merging man and machine and editing DNA to create designer human beings that will serve their purpose. And of course, it's all for our own good, right, Richard? And if you suggest otherwise, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Well, they understand everything about nature and biology, plus their motive is 100%, you know, benevolent.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Bill Gates, look at the guy. How could you ever suggest that he would want anything other than my well-being? I mean, clearly he loves me. I'm sure if he could, he'd come and give me goodnight hugs and read me stories.
Yeah, you know that because he has a pink sweater that he
Exactly. Wears. I mean, and he's got the goofy hair and, you know, the flailing arm. Right. Just looks like your crazy uncle, right?
Yeah.
Who would he hurt? Not a fly, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but these symbols are coming up more blatantly now. And I guess they're figuring people are so far gone, it just doesn't matter, and we can just make it public.
Yep. Well, I think a lot of people see this, Richard, and they're like, nah, that's so ridiculous. That's not true. And they don't even bother to go look it up because it just sounds so insane.
Okay, so what was the bill 6666 about? What you talked about the patent.
That's the TRACE Act, yeah. So that's the one where they want to put $100 billion into creating this national tracing regime where they're going to track and monitor everybody under the guise of fighting coronavirus. And think about $100 billion. I mean, that is an extraordinary amount of money.
You could cover a pretty big payroll with that.
It would be insane. I mean, that's more than the GDP of many of our states combined, right? It's a huge amount of money. It is an absolutely enormous amount of money. You could do so much with it for 1 year. That's just for 2020. So you have huge plans. You know, some of the organizations involved here, Partners in Health is one of them. They've already got the contract in Massachusetts to do the contact tracing there. And obviously, it's funded by George Soros. In fact, George Soros and his Open Society Institute is listed as a partner. Naturally, so is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's wicked, wicked daughter, who, by the way, brags on Twitter about her missing her friends over at the Satanic Temple. And that's a true story. She is on their board. And, I mean, if you can't trust Soros, who can you trust?
That's right. You know, Bill Gates' wife just showed up on an interview on television. I'm sure you heard about it, with an interesting piece of jewelry.
Oh, the upside down cross? I heard about that.
With red rubies or something around the circle around it. It's, you know, I heard it analyzed by somebody I can't mention on the air because we'll disappear immediately. And it was like that symbol, which was like the so-called peace symbol, which is a dead tree with branches facing downward. Mm-hmm. When it's in that circle, it means the death of the sun.
Yeah. Heard it's a very anti-Christian, esoteric symbol. Yep. Yeah. And I mean, these people don't even bother to hide it anymore, Richard. If we're honest, like, just, you know, if you ever really want to be disgusted, turn on the Super Bowl and watch the Super Bowl halftime. They're just like openly doing satanic rituals in front of your face. They've got Baphomet up there, and they're all wearing demon horns and bowing down before demon gods. You're like, what in the world? Are we really at that point? But we are. And it goes back to, you know, the exaltation of the hierarchy. These occultists, these Luciferians, have had this idea that gradually they're going to basically bring in all of society into their occult pagan beliefs. And, you know, Alice Bailey talked about this. She was channeling these demonic spirits in her books, entities like Jeval Kul, the Ascended Master, and they would feed her this information. And one of the books, Externalization of the Hierarchy, is about how gradually you're going to induct the whole human race into this mystery religion, the mystery schools with this occult knowledge. And frankly, it's straight Luciferian, satanic. The name of her publishing company was a pretty big hint. It was called the Lucifer Publishing Company. So they're not exactly, sneaking around in the bushes. They're telling you to your face if you'll listen.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, though, that it's not for a permanent large following because, I mean, it looks inescapable conclusion to me that they intend to just exterminate life on the planet.
Yeah, I think that is what Satan would really like to do. I think the great majority of his minions on this are under the delusion that they rule over the ruins and enslave mankind and have mountains and mountains of money, and life is just going to be so wonderful, and they can rape babies and do whatever.
Everybody thinks that except for the very top.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. And then, once you get into the powers and the principalities, I mean, they know fully well what's going on. And
they figure they're not going to need their physical bodies because they'll merge with cyberspace.
Oh, that's right. Transhumanism. They're talking about that again in the open. You know, all you got to do is go listen to them. They say, well, we're going to upload our consciousness onto a computer. And, all right, good job with that, you dummy. Good luck.
Yeah. The computer will say, okay, uploaded. You can die now. Right. You're immortal. Yep. So, this is a pretty coordinated effort. I mean, it happened relatively suddenly and worldwide. And I find it interesting that almost every leader of every country, including even Boris Johnson, once he got his treatment, they're all going along with it like it's fine.
Yeah. Well, I think Trump has actually put up quite a bit of resistance. I think there are very powerful forces around him that are trying to manipulate him. And I think they actually succeeded early on. I think they basically, they showed him these stupid models. They said millions of people die. You've got to act quickly.
Yeah.
But I think he woke up. You know, he called it a hoax. Now he dropped this bomb with the hydroxychloroquine. He's already been very clear that there won't be mandatory vaccines. So, I
saw the article first, the video, edited video or shortened video.
Of using the military?
It was obvious that it was going to be compulsory. And then after that, the earlier part where he clarified that, well, some people won't want it, so they don't have to have it. That was really important that came out.
Yeah. And I think the media wants to do everything and anything possible to drive a wedge between Donald Trump and his supporters. And to be clear, I'm not a Trump uber alles, rah, rah, rah. He can do no wrong. I've been very critical of some of what he's done, including this insane stimulus bill, right?
Yeah.
Trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
But I think his instincts are good. I think he really does want what's best for the American people. I think he's the first president in my lifetime, certainly, who has actually tried to actively resist this insane cabal of people who want to enslave humanity.
So. Well, I watched John Kennedy do some of the same stuff.
Yep. I wasn't around back then. I wasn't born until 25 years later, but I think it was the same for that exact reason. You know, his speech about the conspiracy to enslave every man, woman, and child on this planet.
Yeah.
He knew, and he was trying to stop it, and so they took him out.
Yeah, he didn't last long after that. And a lot of people want to say that Trump is obviously evil and, only doing this for his own power. And to me, that's completely illogical because he's lost billions of dollars. He's smart enough to know that was going to happen. He's been subjected to lethal attack by the media and by the Democratic Party and sabotage by the Republicans. And that's been happening since the beginning. And he wasn't unaware of getting into that. He could have been off owning golf courses and having a good time.
That's right. And I mean, he used to run in those circles. You know, he had everything. He had billions of dollars. He could have any woman he wanted. He could have anything that money could buy, private jets. Yeah. He really did not need this.
And the media wasn't attacking him for anything.
That's right. They loved the guy. Oh, my goodness. And he was invited to cocktail parties with these disgusting elites.
Yeah.
And he
was even interviewed about whether he'd ever want to run for president. And I think the idea was, as long as he didn't actually do it, they would be real nice to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then they figured out real quick, like, oh, wait a minute. Crud, we can't control this guy. So they put people around it, and he's been deceived, I think, on a few things. But there's been a few times where I was like, oh, man, maybe he is part of the deal. Like when he started attacking Syria, and then after the smoke cleared, he had launched a couple of missiles onto a runway, and nobody got killed. Nobody got hurt. He just blew up a runway. For a while, the CNN was deceived too. Like, oh, how presidential. Look at this. Trump is turning out to be a real hero. Oh,
I know. They loved him for a few
runway.
Days. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's one less runway for the bad guys. We're really showing them, you know.
Oh, man. It's crazy.
I think he has big areas where he's not really aware yet.
Yep.
And I think that's one reason that a high priority of the power structure has been to have inner circle around him that would prevent information from getting through.
Yep.
You know, like imagine what would happen if Trump found out about geoengineering.
Yep. I know for a fact that he's got people around him who are doing everything possible to make sure he does not get information from alternative sources. They want him glued to, watching Fox News. You can watch the TV channels, but whatever you do, don't read the alternative media. And they're very, very serious about it.
So. Yeah, and a little bit is getting through, and that's the good things that he's doing is responding to that.
Yep.
But there are areas that he needs to learn a lot about. Like, he signed bills making it real easy to develop new GMOs, and he's got this Warp Speed Act, that hopefully he's not doing that as a tightrope walk, to at the last minute. Get rid of it or something, and he may be. It might be a strategy thing like that. It's just dangerous if it is.
Yep. Yeah, and there's a few things where I've been, really disappointed. The USMCA is another good example.
Yes.
I think he was completely deceived by his advice. Because, he comes from the business world. In the business world, when you tell your employee to do something, they do it. Otherwise, they're going
to
be fired.
They're not all trying to kill you.
That's right. That's right. It's a totally different world in Washington, D.C.
There's areas that he doesn't know about. Like, for example, building the wall was just really common sense. There were thousands of people just pouring over with drugs and all kinds of weapons. And even if they were without weapons, they're supposed to go through a regular vetting process so you don't get really destructive people coming in. And that should have been built immediately. And he was allowed to build walls in places where it was illegal for the U.S. to be, like in Syria. And,
right, yeah. You can defend the borders over there. Yeah,
exactly.
It over here.
Saudi Arabia, whatever, but not here. And the people in Congress, the Republicans were mostly traitors because when they had control of both houses, they didn't do anything to say, Donald, you can just go do this, okay? It's even easier than Syria. Just, and if these criminal judges say you can't follow the Constitution, you don't have to pay any attention to
it. That's their opinion. Just follow the Constitution. It's three branches of government, and we're not ruled by the judiciary. But no, you're right. The Republicans, when the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives, it was one of the most disgraceful things I had ever seen. Every single one of those criminals ran on a platform of reducing the size of government, ending funding for Planned Parenthood. You'd think that would be so
easy. That was
easy.
A big one.
And yet Paul Ryan made sure that Trump got a budget with funding for Planned Parenthood. I would have vetoed that thing, thrown it right in his face, and said, send me something that doesn't include funding for killing babies.
Yeah, their whole agenda is waste the time.
Yep, exactly. Right. Exactly.
But the president has not only the ability, but the mandate to protect the borders.
Yep.
He doesn't need special permission or doesn't even have to ask Congress. That's what he's supposed to do as commander-in-chief.
He's got the constitutional authority to do it. That's right. And that's how it is in Washington, D.C. They don't want the things that are actually constitutional. They don't want those things done. But the things that are unconstitutional, we can have that. We can borrow infinite money from China. We can print infinite money to do all those things. We'll study shrimp on treadmill. We'll take away your guns. We'll kill babies and on and on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think an important element of that has been to make sure that kids in school no longer learn anything about the founding documents of America, what the point was, the idea of freedom, individual freedom, as long as you don't go out and hurt anybody else,
yep,
being really central. They don't haven't taught that for a long time.
That's right. We're several generations into that now. And, you know, even back in the 60s, you know, when they ruled that you couldn't have prayer or a Bible in school because of the First Amendment. It's like, wait a minute, when the founders wrote and ratified the First Amendment, most of the churches or most of the states had established churches. How are you going to say that they meant to ban prayer and Bible in school? And yet that's how brainwashed people already were. They don't know anything about what the Constitution says, what it was supposed to do. And it's a shame. We're squandering an incredible blessing that was handed down to us through the blood and the sacrifice.
Benjamin Franklin or somebody said it would only work if he called it an educated public was there, but I'd say a conscious public.
Yep.
You know, because there, common sense is like way beyond what so-called science is now. It's like it would correctly direct technology and knowledge in ways that wouldn't destroy the world, and I think people would understand. Yeah, there are limits on freedom, but it doesn't mean you can be locked in your house as a prisoner. It means that you can't start a GMO company to poison the world.
And have the government protect your illegal patent for the DNA that you concocted.
Exactly. And you know, if you create a product knowingly to hurt people and it kills millions of people, that's kind of like mass murder.
Yeah, and we put people like that in jail while they wait, you know, the death penalty, and depending on what state you're
that's
in.
That's not freedom, and I've had talks with some libertarian people that label themselves that way that say, oh, that just works itself out in the free market. And I don't agree with that because there are technologies now that by the time they work themselves out in the free market, they will have killed most people.
Yeah. And, you know, the government created the system that facilitated the emergence of GMOs. The government had not created a patent system where you could patent DNA. There never would have been any financial incentive to research any of this stuff in the first place. So
it wouldn't have
happened. I mean, maybe some governments would have done it somewhere, but you wouldn't have had these massive commercial ventures with billions of private capital putting it to work. And it was all because the government put in place an insane incentive structure that never should have been put there.
Yeah. And you know, what's come out too in some of the interesting sources is that one of the things that really disheartened Kennedy and other people too, and not just in the U.S., is that the visible government is not in charge. They follow orders or they get killed or have other problems.
Yeah.
And
the deep state.
Yeah. When they try to do things like expose the technology that really exists right now, you know, the fact that it was demonstrated all over America that you could run your car on plain water. I mean, there's no question that the person who did that drove a dune buggy all over the country and he made the mistake of wanting to sell the patent, and the government said, no problem, we'll buy it. And he said, I know you guys, I want to meet in a public place. And they said, rats, you figured it out. And they met him in a public place and poisoned him and took everything.
Oh, my goodness.
But all of the hidden technology, that's one of the primary crimes to expose and develop that and make it available. If Trump knew about it, that would be an interesting situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're still funding, research that would just blow your mind. I was looking at the NIH, the National Institutes of Health. Bill Gates funded a research project there into the use of luciferin and luciferase in medical applications. I have it right from the government's website, and they thank Bill Gates for providing the funding. I mean, they are researching.
Those are new drug names?
It's a bioluminescent compound to help them keep track of things and see what's happening in the body. Who wants to sign up for their luciferin injection with patent HR060606 for your cryptocurrency? We'll send the guys to your house with funding from HR666. It's just going to be awesome.
I've heard that you can make like $1,100 if you agree to have the vaccine tested on you.
Oh, easy. And I think that's one of the ways they're going to be able to get people to inject this is they're going to tell you, hey, we'll load your you know, card up with lots of money. And people will say, oh, free money. Oh, give me the shot. You know, I'll go pay with my RFID chip or whatever it is.
One of the things about that patent, speaking about economic issues, you know, seeing how far we've come from like gold and silver being, you probably know exactly where in the Constitution it says that that's the money.
Several places, yeah. And in Article 1, Section 10, I believe, it tells the states that no state shall make anything but gold and silver legal tender in payment of debts.
Yeah, why don't you tell people why that is? And they didn't say gold or silver or cryptocurrency. They just said gold and silver. Why would they do that? Because they don't know about the really good money like blockchain stuff. And
right. Well, I mean, I think the big reason was that gold and silver have all properties that would be desirable. They've served as money in the free market for thousands of years. They're scarce. They're intrinsically valuable because people use them, because they have industrial applications, because women love jewelry.
Yeah.
Portable. They're durable. I mean, they're literally the perfect money. They can't be inflated away, right? You wouldn't want to use like leaves off a tree, because then everybody would have infinite money, so everybody would be broke. So it really was very good money. The founders had thought this through, and that's what they said. And instead, we ended up with a Federal Reserve to basically steal all our money and help the banking elites take over.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think Trump has part of an idea about what the Federal Reserve is up to, and if he gets the full idea of things like that, I don't know how he's going to psychologically handle it. But he's got a very strong personality, and I think it'd be fascinating to see how he would react. And evidently, there
was a lot of this, Richard. So back in the 2016 election campaign, he talked about how the Federal Reserve was artificially keeping interest rates down to juice the stock market to make Obama look good. He said on multiple occasions now that we ought to go back to a gold standard. And incidentally, Vice President Mike Pence, who I don't really trust, has said the same thing. And Trump's latest nominee for the Federal Reserve Board of Governors is a woman by the name of Judy Shelton. And she is a very interesting lady. I don't agree with her on everything, but I do agree with her that we need to go back to a gold standard, that we ought to quit having the Federal Reserve try to determine what the interest rate should be or is going to be. She said we should get rid of the FDIC. Very, very smart lady who would completely overturn the insane monetary system that we have right now. So I think Trump does understand a lot of these things, but he's got to pick his battles. You know, there's so many
existential
threats. You can't handle them all at once. So I'm hoping that a second term will knock these out. So
yeah, that would be good. I wish he would talk about the issue that the election is going to be influenced by the fact of who owns the voting machines.
Yep.
Right.
That's true.
I mean, if that's not addressed, they could elect a dead person and they'd win easily.
Yeah. And he tried to deal with that. I don't know if you remember, but very early on in his presidency, he asked state governments to cooperate in a nationwide election integrity operation to investigate what had been happening here. You know, there was millions of fraudulent votes cast for Hillary Clinton. And I think they thought they had the election in the bag. I think they knew there was so much fraud. There was no way Donald Trump could compete with all that fraud. And yet he still beat the pants off him. And so they're going to come back this time and try even more vote fraud. And they know in California they're not going to be prosecuted. They're not going to be prosecuted in Illinois because the state government is already under the control of the criminals. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, ideally, the governors who are, you know, turning everything upside down in their states and imprisoning the people and being sanctuaries for, you know, people who come in illegally and all kinds of stuff like that, those governors should be indicted and arrested, I would think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I mean, we have a federal statute on the books that makes it a felony to deprive an individual of his or her rights under color of law. I mean, you can go to prison for 20 years or even life. If you can even get the death penalty if somebody dies as a result of that.
And, which lots of people have died as a result of it already.
Absolutely. I mean, they have caused so many deaths with this insane lockdown. You know, people lose their job and they despair and they kill themselves. Or, you know, so many deaths as a result of this. The devastation is just incalculable.
There's a lot of actual child abuse going on and stuff like that because people have no money and they're stuck at home.
Yep.
And yeah, it seems like that should be recognized. And I guess right now, the Congress people are pretty much useless. Most of them, they don't mention any of this stuff. But the president is under a lot of pressure that maybe he's calculating exactly how much he can do without getting immediately assassinated.
Yeah. And, you know, right now they've got the whole Obamagate to worry about, you know, and this is coming out. I'm so excited about what's happened with General Flynn. You know, these
criminals, that's incredible.
It is. I mean, they were spying on Trump. They were spying on his national security advisor. They were spying on the whole incoming team. They thought, oh, well, Hillary Clinton's going to win, so it's not going to matter. You know, nobody's going to look through this stuff and get mad at us. And then they got caught, and they framed Flynn. They tried to, you know, we even have the FBI notes now. Like, all right, well, we got to get him to say something so we can either get him to resign or prosecute him or something.
What do you think about the Department of Justice doing nothing or doing so little compared to what, you know, Trump said that some of these people would be in jail if he won. And he started out with, an enemy as a attorney general, and got rid of him finally. It took a long time. And now he's got Barr, who doesn't seem to do anything either.
Yeah, you know, I don't trust Barr, and I did have some more trust for Sessions. I was really disappointed. I don't think he intended for this to happen, but I think he made an enormous mistake. You know, the media was all, oh my goodness, Russia collusion, Trump only became president because, you know, the Russians put him there. And Sessions knew that was idiotic, but he knew that if he came out and did it, they'd say, oh, it's only because he's part of the conspiracy. So he thought, you know what, I'll just recuse myself, and that was a huge mistake. He shouldn't have done that. He should have realized. Right. I mean, he's been in Washington how many years? The guy should have known that this place is a swamp full of criminals and cutthroats. So he made that huge mistake there.
Weren't there a lot of other indictments he could have done, though?
Yeah, he should have. He really should have. You know, he did do some really good things while he was there, and unfortunately not nearly enough. But, you know, very much like Trump, he was completely surrounded by snakes trying to get him. And Pompeo's in the same situation. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of Pompeo, but he's an outsider. He's not part of their little clubs. He's not from the CFR or the Bilderberg or any of this stuff. And you know, I've even interviewed some of his deputies and talked to them. They said the whole State Department is basically filled with people who want to destroy the president administration. And so, you know, they're trying to get stuff done. Meanwhile, they got alligators nipping at their heels, you know, trying to rip this off and rip that off. So it's, you know, it's not an enviable position. I really I sympathize with them. And I hope Barr, you know, he used to work for Bush. So anybody who used to work for Bush, you really got to prove yourself if I'm ever going to have any trust in you. But I'm hoping some things are going to happen now. And, you know, I don't even trust Doug Grinnell, the new director of national intelligence. You know, this guy was the ambassador to Germany, and he made it his chief mission to bully every government on the planet to legalize and celebrate homosexuality, even though Trump said, you know, we're not going to tell countries what to do. You guys leave us alone, we leave you alone. So, you know, I don't think he was the best choice for that, but it does seem like, you know, he was the one who just now recently released the names of the people who want to unmask. So little by little, this stuff is coming out and they're building the case. They've got, I forget the guy's name now, the U.S. attorney who's investigating all this and looking to file indictments.
I'll think of it in a minute.
I hope this comes soon.
Pompeo's an interesting character too, because it's possible that, like Trump, there were just big areas he didn't know about. You know, he was famous as a major sponsor of the DARK Act, would deny Americans the right to know about GMOs. And that was killing the labeling. Of course, they should have banned them, not just labeled them. But he was responsible in large part for making sure that the GMO companies could, you know, try to not even be recognized. But
was that Pompeo when he was in Congress?
That was Pompeo.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I think there's a lot of ignorance.
It might have been an honest mistake. It could have been.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ignorance about this, you know, because the companies and the establishment have been telling us that GMOs are safe. And, you know, there's a lot of useful idiots out there, especially, you know, people who've looked at a lot of the alarmism about climate change and stuff. And they're like, you alarmists are just full of it. So they say, well, you know, you're probably full of it on this, too. You just don't like capitalism and stuff. And I think a lot of people have innocently gotten duped with this. And I think it's their responsibility to go become informed. I mean, we're talking about a huge issue here. There's no excuse for you to be ignorant about something like that if you're involved in policy. Making, but I think a lot of, you know, naive people have gotten, and I know some naive people who've gotten duped into it, but reasonably well-informed people.
Yeah, especially if they're educated, you know, that makes them very susceptible to misunderstanding.
Yep.
And I think we're almost out of time, but I wanted to mention with respect to that patent and the injectable dye that is part of this new money system that's going to be so convenient. And nobody can steal anything because it saturates your own tissues. They're already being able to put in the beginnings of universal basic income, which I think kids being brought up in the current system think, well, why didn't they think of it before? Everybody should, of course, get free money. Then we would all be rich. we could buy everything we wanted and nobody would be starving and they would end racism and everything would be great. And, you know, that's the direction they're planning to go in. And if you wanted to explain, this is connected to the gold and silver issue that we were talking about, that prevents inflation. Actually, it prevents deflation, too, as far as I know.
Yeah, it keeps prices stable because the value stays relatively stable over time because there's no way to go get a huge amount of it out of the ground. It takes time and resources and effort. But this universal basic income, I've been following this for many, many years now, long before it was a national topic of discussion. And it will be no surprise to you, I'm sure, Richard, and probably to most of your viewers, that it has been the uber elites, you know, the multi-gazillionaires, the powers that be that have been pushing this idea. And it's not because they love you, and it's not because they feel like sharing their secret billions and trillions with you. In fact, they're not going to share squat with you, right? They're going to steal your wealth and your resources and your stuff to give you back a little bit, kind of like slaves or livestock, right? You give them medical care because hey, they're livestock.
Another thing about universal basic income, the free money that you get, and most people would say, what is wrong with free money? That's like the best thing in life. But it's conditional, aside from the fact of what it does to the money supply.
Yep. Yeah, you got to obey this, you got to obey that. That's exactly. And it makes you dependent. Suddenly I don't like what you're doing anymore. Oh, you don't like what we're doing anymore. How about we just turn that off? Oh, no, exactly. I'm sorry, master. Please don't do that.
Yeah, I believe everything, whatever you say.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Oh, sure. Right. Vaccines for my kids. Oh, here, have them. Quick.
Yeah. There's another thing that's wrong with it, too. And that's that if everybody's getting free money, especially to stay home, who's going to make the stuff that you want to buy?
Yeah, and we're going to come into that problem here very soon, Richard. I think the devastation that has been inflicted on our economy now is going to start becoming more obvious. I just wrote an article about this a few days ago. They have euthanized millions of animals. I mean, the hens that lay the eggs, the pigs.
As if there were no demand, which is not true.
Exactly. I mean, they're rationing it at the grocery store. You can't buy beans. You can't buy canned food. You can't buy bacon. You can't buy steak without submitting to their rationing. And it's going to get a whole lot worse. Food prices went up 4.something% last month. I bet you your salary didn't go up 4% last month, right? And it is going to get a whole lot worse. And
this wait is till what they pull causes the, rug out the Zimbabwe the problem, right?
That's right. Wait till they pull the rug out from under the dollar, because Americans say, oh, that's okay. We're super rich. You know, we'll just buy all the food and then the Africans can starve or the Indians can
just
starve.
Just double the universal basic income. What's the big deal?
Right. Just print 5 more trillion and we'll be fine, right?
Right.
But no, in all seriousness, I think if they pull the rug out from under the dollar, and I think that's part of the plan, Americans are going to suddenly find out that, oh, we can't actually just buy up all the world's food and let the Africans and the Asians starve. It's going to come here too. And a lot, there's going to be a lot of
people shocked. They're already saying, in fact, UN-connected agencies are saying, at this point, even if it stopped now, there's an extra 130 million people set to starve to death this year.
That's right. Yep, they said the head of the World Food Program, David Beasley, he said that we are going to have famines of biblical proportions within a few months here. You've got the locusts over in Central Africa. You've got all the farmers. I know farmers here in the United States, they're being told to plow their crops under. They're being told to dump all their produce.
Yeah,
it's absolutely insane. It's engineered. They know they got to get us, like this by the throat. Yeah. They want to centralize control over energy, centralized control over food, centralized control over healthcare, and we will be absolutely trapped.
And they're saying that the virus is causing starvation. What they need to say is it's the policy of the lockdowns. And the reason that the farmers, to make it clear, are plowing the food into the ground is not lack of demand. Everybody still would like to eat food.
That's right. There's still the same amount of hungry people now as there were last year. So
yeah, they're not all going on a spiritual fast for 10 years. But all the people in the supply chain are being told to stay home, so there's nobody to transport the food or harvest the food or process the food or retail the food. Those people are in prison at home.
That's exactly right. They've shut down the meat packing factories. They've shut down the slaughterhouses. They've shut down the canning facilities. And so all these farmers have all this food. Like, well, what am I going to do with it? I can it myself. I don't have the facilities. I can't slaughter the pigs myself. I don't have the facilities. So they're just euthanizing all the critters and throwing the food out and letting it rot.
Yeah, that's not good for the future.
It's going to be a tragedy.
You know, since the shows that we do with you have this problem that they go by in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I remember that now, and what, you know, that it happens every time. We should do another installment, if you're open to it, about solutions on every level, government and individual and all that. But as a teaser for that, in case you're willing to do that.
Absolutely.
Why don't you give it like a 1 minute thing, because then we have to go, about what kind of things become solutions. So it's just not everything's terrible, we're all dead, you know, there's nothing to do and that sort of thing.
I think the first and most important thing is make sure you are personally ready, right? If you have people who depend on you, wife, children, you know, make sure your stuff is in order. Wouldn't hurt right now to get a few chickens to lay some eggs. Wouldn't hurt to get some crops growing. I mean, my family and I were planting sweet potatoes right now. We got lots and lots of tomatoes. We've got lots and lots of crops growing. Hens that lay eggs, very, very good idea. You want to make sure you are not going to get backed into a corner. Make sure you're protecting your children from the indoctrination. I mean, they've told us a million times the way they're going to bring this horror show to fruition is by brainwashing the youth. And we're pretty far down there now. So parents, you have a responsibility. Don't let your children become part of the Borg, part of this crazy machine. Get them out of the government indoctrination centers and homeschool them, or put them in a good private school.
The head educator of every family's kids is the parents, right?
That's right. And that should be. And in fact, if you read your Bible, God is very clear that parents are the ones who are responsible for education, not Caesar.
Yeah. If you sub it out to a teacher and the teacher teaches them to be insane, then you probably shouldn't use that teacher.
That's exactly right. And the government has proven that it cannot be trusted with education. Another important thing is to get subscribed to some print publications. I would recommend The New American very highly, not just because I write for it. I write for it because it's the best magazine out there.
Yeah.
And if you want to be informed, if you don't want to have to depend on liars and the fake news, watch Richard's program and get a subscription to The New American. Facebook and YouTube and Google cannot censor this, right? It'll come
right to
your door. So
that's a hard copy. You can get an actual paper cop, like
that's
they
right.
used to have paper magazines and stuff.
Yep.
You can still get that.
Two every month. It will come right to your doorstep. As a subscriber, it'll cost you less than a cup of coffee, practically free, and you'll get the best information. No fluff, no celebrity gossip, you know, none of that garbage.
Right.
Just what you need to know to protect yourself, to stay free, to get involved, and to be knowledgeable about these issues so that you can help educate others. And I think that's really going to be the key, Richard, is education. We got to educate ourselves first, and then after that, we got to go out into our communities, educate our neighbors, our pastors, our colleagues, our families, the people who are in our immediate surrounding. And if we don't do that, the government's going to do the educating for us, and we are going to be marched right off a cliff.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, I hope we can do the second part very soon, because things are happening fast.
Yep.
And hold on, we'll say goodbye in the break here. So that went fast, you guys. I don't know if it seemed the same for you, but for me, it was like 10 seconds. So that was Alex Newman, a foreign correspondent, as he says, for The New American, but he writes about all kinds of stuff, and his writings have appeared in many other major publications. Really insightful, intelligent person. In looking at what's going on in the world, and he's got a lot of basic information about education and about history and about constitutional government and things like that. Very informative guy, and as I suggested to him before we finished, I hope he'll be back soon before we kind of lose our train of thought on this issue and talk for the whole show about solutions for kids, for parents, for families, for people, you know, deciding where they need to live and how to move, and for anybody in the government that's still somewhat sane that wants to do something good and tell the truth about things, how to do that without immediately disappearing. And a lot of people within the, I guess they call it the healthcare system, right? And within the contract tracer groups and things like that. I think we should continue this discussion very soon. In the meantime, the lists that he talked about, like all the really great educational books for homeschooled kids, all that stuff, and a lot of other things are at fpeusa.org. It's not FPA, and it's confusing because it's called the Freedom Project Academy, but the website is FPE, like Freedom Project Education, USA.org. And New American .org or .com, I'm not sure which, but the New American Magazine, apparently it's not expensive right now to start a new subscription, and you can actually get hard copies in paper, not just online. Very good resource, and I'd stay up with Alex's articles. They're very informative. So that was most of what I wanted to tell you about. I think we covered a lot of things, at least superficially, and got into some of it. And there's massive amounts more that it leads to that we could be talking about. But I think the main key, besides understanding what the real crisis is, you know, not being what we're told the real crisis is, this assault, not just on America, but on humanity everywhere, to have, all right, we can't take you over with an overt assault through the government, so we'll just do it for your benefit with the medical rulers of the world. And so you have a new emperor and other people under him for the unelected rulers of the world. And most people, amazingly, don't question it, because the whole medical system as it is now is, you know, the part that they're talking about anyway, with viruses and sickness and infectious disease, it's all based on fear and being willing to take toxic, dangerous treatments to keep you safe. Even if the treatment kills you, it's not extremely logical. But most people think, yeah, that's normal. I don't see anything contradictory about that. So a lot of this will depend on whether people can wake up in time to see the amazing sci-fi plot in this movie that we're all actors in that is going on. And you're the actor or the actress. And if you want to change the movie, you can read a different script. You know, it is possible. And it becomes more possible if you wake yourself up. So instead of putting the first emphasis and priority on going around and correcting everybody else's understanding, It's like any other kind of learning. You start on yourself, and then what you have to share with everybody else changes dramatically. You can't substitute just arguing for that. It doesn't work. It has very bad results. And in fact, I've seen situations where people will go and present some really great topic on organic farming or something that nobody could possibly object to, you would think. And because of the consciousness behind the presentation, everybody ends up in a bad mood and fighting about who's the best organic farming, you know, teacher. And I mean, you can fight about anything, and it comes from the consciousness with which it's shared. So if we're not out to prove that we're the smartest and everybody else is an idiot and wrong and all that, you know, we kind of drop all that junk, because we're supposed to be out of preschool already into the, you know, at least lower grades of elementary school, where you learn about cooperation and total individuality. But between those individual sovereign people, you're helping each other. It's kind of like normal, you know, and we've gotten really far away from normal life at this point, but it's not impossible to get back, it seems to me. And, you know, just give up the nonsense of hating anybody, even the ones you think are the worst perpetrators of evil. It's like when the emperor wanted Luke in the first Star Wars to hate his father and kill him so that he could unknowingly think that he was doing something good, but taking on the frequency of evil, and he'd be the perfect apprentice for the evil emperor. And we're in the same situation. You know, there's lots of justifiable groups or individuals that you might want to hate and just focus on attacking and destroying them and all that. That's a big mistake. You know, it doesn't rule out whatever is necessary for defense. That's why the, you know, firearms rights and things are a barometer of freedom in a country. They're very critical. But hating anybody, no matter how evil you think they are, is a real mistake, because it limits your own consciousness. And I know a lot of people would think that's ridiculous, but this is what a lot of us have found out. It doesn't mean that we're doing it right all the time by any means, but you remind yourself, you know, come back to it. What we're trying to spread is something different than the climate of fear and animosity and hatred and condemnation and calling everybody names and, you know, stuff like that, that is being pushed by mainstream television, newspapers, and, you know, places like that. It should be a clue that it might not be the best thing to do. So that's what we're trying to encourage, is develop yourself, take care of yourself, you know, learn about health, learn about the forbidden real health knowledge that's violently suppressed in the U.S. and most of the world right now, how you can take care of yourself, and how there's almost, you know, if people did that, there'd be almost no healthcare required at all. Maybe people who knew more about it than we did would be teaching us how to do it better. You know, eat organic food, exercise, get in the sun in the right way, and get enough sleep. And these are huge, powerful things that the current medical profession often just brushes off as insignificant and unscientific, but they're the most powerful. And if learn to take care of yourself if you want to contribute to the world. That seems to be a major theme that's really important to remember. So we started Planetary Healing Club for that, but you don't have to be a member of that. You can do it yourself, or do it with some friends who have the same attitude and want to learn and get their health back as much as they can, get their energy back, and get their brain clear, and stop with the fighting mentality all the time. Reach the people inside the power structure and make them aware of the same thing that you're learning, so they say, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be helping to imprison everybody in their houses. And, you know, oh yeah, it's really true that unalienable rights are not just for Americans, they're for everybody. And the thing, the unalienable part, that means it doesn't, if you declare an emergency, it doesn't change your rights. If that one thing were understood, all these countries on lockdown, it would be over right away. Because lockdown is against your God-given rights, no matter what country you live in. So work on it yourself, work on it with friends, or if you want a supportive environment, you know, join Planetary Healing Club, planetaryhealingclub.com, because that's what we work with, the forbidden health information that you're still allowed to talk about right now. We're not doing medical advice or anything like that, because you don't need that. I mean, you don't, certainly don't need it in our group. You get that from your doctor, okay? That's, we're saying that you go to the medical system for that. What we're talking about is old knowledge of health and consciousness and the mundane details of lifestyle, like what you eat and drink and breathe and chemicals that you're feeding yourself and sleep patterns and sunlight and all these things connected with the consciousness tools that allow you to use them much more easily. It gets pretty interesting, but we can talk about health things, consciousness things, world events that are connected to all this. Basically, it opens up everything, and it's an interactive live format that we talk about whatever is on your mind that you think is important, that we need to work on together and help each other. And we do that once a week, and then there's a forum that we talk on during the week for anything that comes up then. You can access that at planetaryhealingclub.com. Or if you have questions about whether it's worth your time or not, and I won't tell you it is if it's not. In your case, it might not be. I don't know, depending on what you're doing. You can email me that question, richard@lostartsradio.com. Now, if you need to reach Doug, he's our engineer. He's making the whole show technically possible. It wouldn't exist without all the incredible input from Doug. Doug is at doug@lostartsradio.com. And you notice we have no commercials in these shows. We need money, not if you're struggling for survival, but if you can possibly, if you think it's worth keeping us on the air, that would really be appreciated at either of our websites. There's donate buttons, lostartsradio.com or lostartsresearchinstitute.org, lostartsresearchinstitute.org, which has a bunch of interesting things on that too. There's donate buttons on those, which would be really appreciated if you want to do that. Or Subscribestar. We set that up. Doug set that up too. That's at subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And speaking of subscribing, subscribe to us on brighteon.com. That's brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. And that's a non-censoring website. We're on a bunch of others too. And if you go to lostartsradio.com, you can see the places that we can be heard. There's hundreds of videos that you can watch if you want on archives, and some audios too. And there's a mailing list so that in case we can't reach you on the usual platforms, you can get on that mailing list and we can send you, you know, whatever's important, videos or articles or stuff like that if you want. Just send a name and an email address to info@lostartsradio.com or go to lostartsradio.com and you'll see the site right on the page there and just sign up. And that'll be used in the future if we need to. We also have a new show that maybe you're aware of or maybe you're not. It's on Saturday right before the club meeting, a half an hour before it, and it's called Lost Arts Radio Live. And we talk about current events related stuff on that, all kinds of different aspects. And you can watch that anytime. It's free. It's on many platforms. It's live on the ones that can be live. And that's every Saturday at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, and then the Planetary Healing Club meets after that. So I think that's most of what we've got going on, other than the usual work every day continuing. The other projects that we have waiting because we need money for those, and the research that I'm involved in has not stopped about aging and degenerative disease and immunity, natural immunity that you can have to things that are terrifying people right now, stuff like that. So we have a lot to talk about. Anyway, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. And just say again, you know, take care of yourself. And you're the first person you have to do that for in order to do everything else you want to do and put the power behind it and have more influence and contribute to the outside world and everybody else in your life. So have a great week. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. And I'll meet you again back here. See you then.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Life as we knew it just took a turn, a turn to who knows where. That fork in the road, didn't see it coming, caught us unaware. What we took for granted, all been taken away. Gotta do it different, gotta find another way. Hold on, we're all in this together. It's a catch cry of the day. We gotta be, period. There's no other way. But hey, can't cry all night. There's a war to fight, an enemy to put away. Keep the faith, isolate. Help is on the way. It's a new world. They've locked down the border. Wherever we are, that's where we have to stay. No time for blame. This is a runaway train. Gotta apply the brakes for the future of humanity. Gotta do whatever it takes. Hold on. We're all in this together. It's a catch cry of the day. We gotta be, period. There is no other way. But hey, can't cry all night. There's a war to fight, an enemy to put away. Keep the faith, isolate. Help is on the way. There's a bad moon rising, Armageddon in the shape of a virus. Gotta stay at home, it's life by phone. This is what it's like to be alone. But hold on, we're all in this together. It's a catch cry of the day. We gotta be, period. There is no other way. But hey, can't cry all night. There's a war to fight and an enemy to put away. Keep the faith, isolate. Help is on the way. Keep the faith, isolate. Gotta believe. Help is on the way.